Merry Christmas, everyone, and what a wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning. You are listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King and Biff Gore sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts today. And we have an incredible show for you this morning. We have...
Let's listen to this music.
Mary, did you know...
Let it breathe.
That your baby boy...
It is that time of the year. Unfortunately, we only think about it this time of the year.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered.
He has made such a great impact on the entire world. And so today we have an incredible show for you. We have Tim Anderson on the line. We also have David Hunter. And in the studio, we have James Shuler. And they are working on an impactful movie called Tears of My Soul. These young men are filmmakers who are taking the story of a man who was brutalized by an ugly regime and came out with really a message of amazing grace. So James, Tim, and David, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a little bit how you got involved in this project?
Well, my name is James Shuler. I got involved because I am also a graphic designer and web designer. And through a friend of a friend, we got a hold of Tim Anderson, who was already working on this film. And when he started it, I had told him that I had started in film school and that was my intention, was to be a filmmaker. And I forgot to make a movie. So he invited me to be a junior member of the production team, and that's what I am.
And Tim, how did you get started on this project?
I got started with this project quite by accident. I was actually doing an internet search for a book called The Tears of My Soul, written by a former North Korean spy who became a Christian. And I used to have a copy of this book, but I lost it. And so I was trying to find another copy of this book. And what came up in my search was another book by the same title written by Rexha Him. And I read the description. I had nowhere in the description did it say that it was a Christian book. It just simply said that it was a survivor story from the Khmer Rouge. And so that prompted me just to buy it because it just sounded intriguing, and I got it. And when I read the story, I was just floored at the story, and also just amazed to come to discover that it was indeed a story of not only survival, but it was a story it was an amazing story of forgiveness and how he came to know the Lord and how the Lord changed his heart toward these gentlemen that killed his family. So that's how I came to discover the story. And then I did another search and found the author, and I wrote to him, and he and I began to communicate. And I expressed my interest in wanting to make this into a film. And that's how we connected.
How far into the process are you?
You know, I think well, the short answer is we're about 2 years into it. It's really deceiving, I think, to most people. When they go to the movies, they don't realize how much time is invested in making a movie. The average Hollywood film takes 8 years to make from start to finish. And so when I tell people that we're 2 years into it, it's kind of shocking because it sounds like a long time, but in reality, we're still in the development phase of this film, which means that the script is being adapted from Rexha's book, and other developmental phases are being worked out before we even move into production. So, yeah, so we're early into it. We haven't shot any film, or actors have not been hired, nothing like that. But we are plowing forward. We're moving with passion, and I'm convinced that we're going to be able to see this through to completion.
Tell us about the theme and the purpose. And by the theme, You mentioned this is about a survivor of the Khmer Rouge. Tell us what that means. What does it mean to be a survivor, and what did he survive, and what's the theme of the movie that is going to carry its purpose?
David, you want to answer that?
Well, this is David.
Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking time with us today. If you do a study about the killing fields and what took place in the mid-70s in Cambodia, when Pol Pot and his Khmer Rouge thugs basically overran and took over the entire country, once the dust settled, I believe upwards to 2 million people had been murdered and killed. 2 million of their own countrymen had been
Which is one-fourth of the population.
Yes, wow. From the society. And so what Rexha suffered through was the destruction, the near destruction of his entire family. I believe in one day, 13 members of his family, including his father, his mother, and almost all his siblings, including a then-infant brother, were all killed in front of him. And he was part of the group that was slaughtered, and yet somehow, miraculously, and we know it was now the Lord who protected him, but he survived that and went on through many years of struggle to find himself in Canada, where he ultimately was able to put his life back together, made a declaration to the Lord to serve him, and that's from that point on went into a place where ultimately he felt the calling to go back to Cambodia, a place he promised he would never return to. And then ultimately to find those men that had murdered his family and offer forgiveness in Christ's name.
Incidentally, the impetus for this was...
It's very profound. And I think one of the things, and James and Tim and I have talked about this a lot, there are many stories out there right now about Cambodia, and almost all of them are very negative, and rightly so. And there is very few, if any, stories that show anything redemptive about what happened. And this is what makes Rex's story, I think, quite unique, at least from what we can see and understand and what we've researched, is that there's very few stories that have anything positive that came out of the killing fields in Cambodia.
What is
yet this? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What's the survivor's name again?
Rexha Himm, R-E-A-K-S-A-H-I-M-M.
And what do you hope to accomplish by producing this movie and telling this amazing story about a person who's able to go back and forgive those who persecuted him?
The intention is to show an extreme example of someone who was wronged to find himself in a position. Most people are so willing to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but how hard is that to pass that on to somebody who had not only tried to kill you, but killed your entire household? He was on a book signing tour, I believe in England, and somebody had asked him the question, what would you do if you ever confronted those men who killed your mother and your father and your brothers and the sister? And he said that at that moment, he knew that God was calling him to go back and do that. And he resisted it because he didn't want to. It's the last thing he wanted to do. But he really strongly felt that God was calling him to look up those men. There were six men. He knew the names of each one of them, and he knew where they lived. And it was he felt God calling him to track down those people, find them, offer them forgiveness and salvation.
What an amazing story. We talk about that a lot in the church, but how many can really do it? When in the process did he become a Christian?
Tim?
Well, he, what was it, about 5 years after the massacre of his family that he ended up in Thailand. He ended up at Khao Dang, which was the largest Thai refugee camp, just near the border there of Cambodia and Thailand. And he was there for 5 years. And during that five-year stay in the refugee camp, he was, you know, there was a huge movement within the camp there of people coming to know the Lord. And so he was hearing the gospel. At one point, he made for lack of a better word, he made a deal with God that basically said, God, if you get me out of here and get me to Canada, I will accept you. And within a year, he was accepted into Canada, and it was actually in Canada when he gave his heart to the Lord.
You are listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King and Biff Gore. We're sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts. And today we have on the show Tim Anderson, James Shuler, and David Hunt from Tears of My Soul. These young men are filmmakers, and they're trying to make an impact on the world by telling the story of an incredible man, Rexha Hem, who is a survivor of the Cambodian killing fields. So, Mr. Rexha, what is he up to these days? I know that he's you tell this compelling story about how he came to know the Lord, how he went back and he forgave the people who slaughtered his family. What is he doing today?
One of the things he did when he went back to Cambodia was he started a Christian school. Biff is making faces at me. He started a Christian school, and he also has he does mission work there. Tim, can you talk about that?
Well, he does missions work. He also he's there with his wife and two children. He's back in the same village where he grew up. He plants churches. He built a community center and a school. He trains pastors. So he's there doing missions work. And he's there helping rebuild the culture and the people who are still affected, you know, 30 years later from the Khmer Rouge, 40 years later.
This is I'm sorry, Tim. This is such a compelling story and such a compelling message that the world needs to hear. You said 8 years before a movie goes from the time it goes from a storyboard until it is completely finished in a movie theater. Rough case scenario, how soon do you think this will go from the phase it's in now to being in theaters?
We have a couple strategies in mind. One, we're considering doing a documentary first and then using the documentary to raise the funds that will get it to a theatrical release to do a dramatized production, a feature-length film.
How much does it cost to do something like this?
Go ahead, David.
We've had estimates anywhere for the theatrical dramatization. Basically in our minds and from some other folks who are experts, we've seen budgets anywhere from $2 million to $40 million. It surely depends on the extent of the production, how many continents we actually – we could easily find ourselves on three different continents with this production. And, of course, the quality of actors and folks that we use in our post-production as well as the actual production can determine those costs.
Wow.
What a biblical message. You know, when the Lord was teaching us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he told us that our sins should be forgiven, our trespasses should be forgiven as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's a tough measure to be met. And here's somebody who's really done that. I'm not sure that most of us are capable of understanding what that really means.
That's faith in action. I mean, you actually see your family butchered to death, and then you go and you forgive the people who actually did it. Not only do you forgive them, but you reach out to them with the gospel so that they can have life. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's profound. And Tim, correct me on this, but isn't one of the gentlemen, and I use that name, you know, ironically, but one of the gentlemen that was actually involved in the murdering of Rex's family, doesn't one of his either children or grandchildren actually attend one of the schools that Rex established?
It's one of his children.
Wow.
One of the men actually lives in the same village with Rexaw, and Rexaw is in touch with him regularly, and in fact, schooled his one of his children. So yeah, it's pretty interesting how that happened. I think it's incredibly profound.
Yeah.
It is. It's profound, and I think one of the challenges of this film project, and we've been talking about this a lot lately, is just the internal struggle that Rexaw had to endure throughout this whole process. You know, it wasn't him coming to know the Lord and then all of a sudden everything was awesome and his attitude immediately changed. It was an amazing internal struggle for this guy.
Yeah. I think about so many times.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, I think about 2 Corinthians 5:18 that says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, who was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I mean, how absolutely amazing. The world needs to see a picture of this. Because, you know, we think, okay, I had a business partner, and this guy took, you know, $100,000 from me. You can forgive that. That's easy. That's an easy thing. Or if you're in a marriage relationship and your spouse is unfaithful, you can forgive that. But when you see this, I mean, this is the ultimate. Somebody murdered your family and you saw it and you then go back and say, not only am I going to forgive you, but I'm going to teach you how to live for the kingdom.
It's my hope that this film will strip away any excuses from any Christian who has a hard time with forgiveness. Mm.
That'll be a tough one.
And not only that, but I think we have a deep goal to go beyond that, though, is that any person who sees this film, whether they know the Lord or not, will walk out of that theater with a deep sense that they need to reach out to somebody in their life and forgive them for whatever trespass that was, and that in doing so might be prompted to find out who is this Jesus. Mm. That was able to provide the ability for this man to forgive. Maybe I can find that as well. And it's our hope to not reach just those who already know about the Lord, but even more so to reach out to those who have no concept of who Jesus was on such a level, and to reach out to them, not only in the Western world here, but we deeply want to have this film to be able to reach into Asia, and possibly even into some parts of the Middle East where the idea of forgiveness is an utterly unknown concept in culture.
What an opportunity to evangelize. The power of it is the fact that it's a true story.
Yeah.
Is the gentleman who's the star of the story, so to speak, is he involved in the production process at all? Or
yeah, he's a consultant. It's based on his story. We're in communication with him. And he kind of wrote the original. Well, he's the author of the original book, and so we consult with him regularly on specific details of the story.
And how amazing that this is really emblematic of the story of Christmas. Here, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He's a baby. He's in a manger, and the shadow of the cross is on him. And his last words on the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And yet, you see this being lived out as Jesus has implanted this seed into this man who says, "I'm going to forgive these people who've murdered my family."
Yeah, as Tim suggested, that's a supernatural act. We can't do that in the human. And anybody who sees this movie is going to be impacted to investigate, what kind of spirit can give you that ability to do that? In the time we have left, tell us a little bit about the project. What kind of roadblocks have you run into? What are the things that you need to have happen? What kind of publicity have you been able to get for the movie?
Roadblocks?
Biggest roadblock right now, unequivocally, for us, the biggest roadblock, unfortunately, is financial. One of the biggest difficulties is as we're trying to work through the pre-production components, development of the script, moving into through pre-production, is just sheer dollars. It gets to be very expensive to try to focus full-time energies on something like this when you when there's very limited funds to do so. And that's one of our great challenges, other than the fact that there's so much within this story, and it covers almost 30 years, to be able to break that down into a two-hour production is very difficult. But right now, I would say one of the greatest struggles for us is financial.
Mm. How can people participate in coming alongside this project, whether it's small way or big way? I think every little bit helps, but how can people donate?
Go ahead, David.
Go ahead, James.
I was going to say that they can get in touch with Tim Anderson through our website, or for the film's website, which is tearsfilm.com.
Tears.
And they can also reach out to our production company, dashmediagroup.com, and they can get information about how to get in touch with us there.
Spell that website out, would you please?
We have going on.
Yeah, website is bashmediagroup.com.
bashmediagroup.com. One of the things that I'm sure is going to help in this project, because it's got to be a project that would be beneficial to the kingdom, is a lot of prayer. I would hope that our listeners will hold these guys up in prayer. What a bold effort it is to try to bring something like this out.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Chuck, for that.
Thank you very much.
This is amazing. And so one other thing that I wanted to ask was, you know, What's one thing that would surprise people about Mr. Rexha, about his life?
One thing that would surprise people about Rexha?
Yes.
I think he's he was a very unwilling hero in this story. He went into, when he was a child, his dad was a school teacher, and he was just a kid. He was 12. When the revolution took place, all this stuff was thrust upon him. I think the biggest thing that would surprise people was how many times Rexha should have been killed and was not. At one point, when he was escaping Cambodia, he ran through a jungle, came out the other side in Thailand, and when people asked him, "Where did you come from?" he pointed the direction from which he came, and they said, "You're the first person who's ever come through that jungle alive. It is littered with minefields." And that explained all the dead bodies he saw along the way. He had no idea why all these dead people were in this jungle.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
Yep. You know, the Lord's hand over his life is profound. And looking back in hindsight, it is so evident that God had plans for this man, even as a child, and had a purpose for him, and had protected him time and time and time again, even following through with the prayer he made when he was in the refugee camp. "If you can just get me to Canada." And within a year, God had pushed all the red tape aside, and Rexha found himself in Cambodia, and he followed through with his promise and sought after the Lord and received him. It's profound.
One of the amazing things about God's economy that I don't think we'll ever understand while we're on this earth is the fact that he can orchestrate a situation to accomplish his end when it seems pointless to us. It could be that the sole purpose of the lives of you three gentlemen is to get this story out there to save souls, because people are going to say, how does one be able to forgive people in that manner?
Mm-hmm. How can I forgive people for even the most incredible, heinous thing that another human being could perpetuate against another person? So this is an incredible story. This is You Get the Blessing. I've been blessed this morning. Have you been blessed, John?
I have been blessed immensely. Wow. Gentlemen, we have a couple minutes left from each one of you. Again, we're talking with Tim Anderson, James Schuler, and David Hunter. Each one of you give us a 30-second soundbite about what you'd like to communicate about your project, starting with Tim.
Okay. What I would like to I think it would be kind of a rehash of what we just talked about. Here's an awesome, amazing story about a 13-year-old boy who should have died. I mean, he was literally at the bottom of the pit with all of his family members, and he should have been killed, but for some reason the Lord had his hand on this 13-year-old and took him through this journey. And that's what the story is about. It's about this journey from the most amazingly difficult circumstances to an amazing amount of, I guess, glory, for lack of a better word. I mean, look what the Lord did to this guy. Complete and utter miracle, really, that he made it through this journey. But he did. He's a survivor.
David, as a producer, what's your soundbite?
My soundbite is that Rex's story is evidence that no matter what we are enduring in our lives, that God is 100% faithful to not only bring us through it, but to reveal to us his plan for our lives. And that if we yield to God, not in a resisting way or in a angry way, but if we willingly just yield to God, that his faithfulness will be shown so strongly and so profoundly in their lives that we will, I don't know, we will, the difference between a yielded life to the Lord and one that is not is so significantly black and white that if we just yield, that God's grace can be shown through us, and it can impact not only our own lives, but the lives of those around us, our neighbors, our family, our friends, our coworkers. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful messages in Rex's story.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that impassioned story this morning. It really is part of the Christmas story. You have been listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King and Biff Gore, sitting in for Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts. And we just want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Go love on somebody. God bless you.
I have been ministered to.
Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby save our sons and daughters? Did you know?